I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
His city, his house. No one beats him in his house. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now, on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, teeny beans and blue jeans. It's Wednesday, hump day, May the 25th, 2016, and primetime is on your radio, on your TV. It's McCowan in the captain's chair, kicking ass and taking names. Kevin Barker is in here. What in the name of the baby Jesus is that cologne you sprayed?
It's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I can't breathe in here. Can we open the door, turn up the air conditioning? Like, open all the doors. Did you not shower this morning or what? Are you trying to disguise, body odor?
Gives me energy. Makes me want to perform well. It does.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do that with baseball, too?
You don't have a superstition when you golf? You don't do a certain thing like you don't stretch a certain way?
I don't put cologne on, no.
Oh.
Well, I don't believe in stretching either.
Strokes for different folks kind of thing.
Stretching is for girls. Look, they propped the door open to let some air in.
All right.
You can smell it in the control room.
It's jealousy.
It's not jealousy.
It is.
It's putrid.
It's amazing. I'll get you some for Christmas if you want it.
Call Hazel right now. I want to know what she thinks of it.
She bought it for me.
She didn't.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm blaming her.
You should.
But you put it on.
Yeah,
you know what?
Every day.
Women buy you cologne and stuff. That's only to sit on the dresser. So you can say, oh, thank you, honey, and put it on the dresser. It's like shirts when they buy you shirts. My wife bought me a pair of shoes for my birthday because I've been refusing to buy new black dress shoes.
Right.
Do you know how often I wear new black dress shoes?
Never.
Never. Mm. But it's become an obsession with her. She has 200 pairs of shoes. Many of them have red bottoms.
Ooh, so does my wife.
And the Valentinos, too.
Mm.
So I understand the shoe fetish. What I don't understand is that the fetish also relates to everyone else in the house. So not only does she have to have a million pairs of shoes, she is obsessed with my shoes. And so she bought me a pair of black shoes.
Well, she wants to look, you look good. You have to look
But
good,
you know right? what you know what you do when you get a gift like that?
What?
You smile, you say thank you, honey, and you put them in the closet.
Hmm.
That's what you should have done.
Wow.
With the cologne.
I'll try that next time. I'm not sure that's gonna work.
Hazel, thank you, honey. I love you. put it on the bathroom sink.
Right.
You know, right beside your sink there. And so she can see you've got it. Maybe open it up. And every once in a while, when she's not in the room, dump a little bit down the sink.
Right.
Just little doop down the sink.
I tried that the first time I was married. Didn't work.
Didn't work?
No.
Yeah, but it turned out you didn't like her anyway.
Yeah.
So it didn't make any difference. I assume you like this one.
I love this one, yes.
Okay, well,
Get me in trouble either. You're spinning it somehow or I'm going to get in trouble here.
I'm working on it.
I know. I've listened to you before.
Women are, they're a necessary evil. But they are an evil.
Can we talk about something else? I'm very uncomfortable right now.
As a former Major League Baseball player, you really are a baby, aren't you? You are a chicken.
Well, you've said it. You said that baseball players are.
You charge the mound in a nanosecond if somebody threw at you.
100%.
But you won't talk about your wife even a little bit.
With perfect form, too.
No, you got to go slow. You got to start by taking. You got to give the catcher time to get between you and the pitcher. And then you can. Then you can do the. Let me at him. Let me at him. Hold right. me back. I'll kill him if I get to him. But of course, you never get to him.
That's right.
That's how you do that.
Should be a 30-second rule. Two guys that start in 30 seconds. What do you think of that? That would solve all issues. 30 seconds. 30 seconds long enough.
What, for a fight?
Yeah, sure. Whatever they want to do.
The Odor Bautista fight lasted about 1 second. It was basically one right hand smack right in the cheek, and that was the end of that. Then what's-his-name had to come over
and hold
Bautista up. Back and up are two entirely different things.
See, I wasn't going to say that.
Hold him up. All right, you're here, so we got to talk baseball, I guess. Later, Sherm Hamilton will join us. Rapitors in Cleveland for Game 5 against the Cavalieres tonight. Richard Deitch will be with us. Barry Melrose and Keith Olbermann.
Nice.
Will be with us at 6 o'clock Eastern time. Or the beginning of hour 3 on this show.
You're on for 3 hours?
Apparently I am.
Man.
Are we on tomorrow? We're not on tomorrow, are we? Unless there's a rain delay. Right. What's the rain prospect for New York tomorrow, please? What's the latest weather forecast? Do we know what the weather is? Nobody seems to know. Nobody's paying any attention to me.
Not one bit.
Why do people come into the studio to talk to my staff in the middle of the show? Then I can't talk to my staff in the middle of the show. Weather forecast for New York tomorrow, please.
You really want to get out of not working, don't you?
Oh, God, it's everything I pray for. The one great perk of doing this show is that, and it's the same every year, when spring comes around, I go, oh, give me the baseball schedule. Let me see how many 4 o'clock starts there are. And you govern the success or failure of the entire year on how many 4 o'clock starts there are.
Wow.
If there's more than 3 4 o'clock starts, it's a great year.
You put a lot of thought in that.
Yes. 3 is a mediocre year. 2 is a bad year. What? We have 7 this year.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
It's like a paid vacation.
0% chance of precipitation in participation in New York.
You'll be golfing tomorrow.
Off day. 7. I may take no vacation time this entire summer because I got 7 days off.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, I know. I don't believe it either. It ain't happening. Otherwise, I'd be off for the entire month of something. Actually, more than a month. In any event. Do you really want to talk about the Blue Jays?
Do you want to talk about?
Well, that's just the, isn't that the point? Is there anything left to talk about?
Okay, I'll ask you something.
All right.
Does Devin Travis mean something? What does that mean for the Blue Jays?
Well, you hope you get a bat who can play second base, but Barney's hit okay. Is Barney an inferior defensive second baseman to Devin Travis? I don't know the answer to that. Do you? I kind of see them as more or less comparable.
I think the whole point is they want him to lead off sooner than later. Obviously, he's not doing it today. He's hitting 8th, but you don't want Bautista, I don't think, leading off all year. You do?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I'm okay with it.
It's going to be real tough to do that when you have Ryan Goins hitting 9th. Obviously, that would probably not happen if
Tulowitzki
was playing. He would probably be in AAA. But when you have Ryan Goins hitting 9th, no offense to Ryan Goins. He's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. A
little bit?
Yeah, he's hitting a .148.
Well, where do you put your bad hitters? Well, you want to put your bad hitters in the middle of the lineup?
No, but the whole point is you want to stack guys in front of Bautista and Donaldson.
There's no one to stack.
Well,
there is no one to stack. And Encarnacion has been a pile of rubbish the last, most of the year.
There you go. You're giving him some benefit of the doubt.
Most of the year. He hasn't hit at all.
He's 9 for 54, runners in scoring position.
That's pathetic.
That's not good.
And Bautista, until recently, was no better. In fact, worse. At least he was getting on base occasionally with
walks.
He's
the only guy hitting over 300 with runners in scoring position. They have 5 guys, everyday guys, hitting 200 or less. Donaldson, Edwin, Tulo, Martin, Pilar.
I got news for you. That's been the story of this ball club for years and years and years. This isn't a new occurrence. It's just highlighted this year because the whole team in general isn't hitting well. They don't hit whether somebody on base or
well,
not.
Well, last year they hit 286. That was the best in baseball, and they were having a lot of extra base hits. No. That's a big deal. Puts a lot of pressure on pitching staffs. They don't do that, and their bats are not very good. Basically, they've eliminated the big part of the field.
It's okay, valid stat, I guess. I mean, I'm just statted out. I mean, you can go through a million different stats in a million different ways. The answer is this team isn't hitting.
So how do they fix it?
There is no fix. There is no fix. The fix is to give up. It is the only fix. No, I'm serious. If you get to July 31st, or shortly before, and you are in the position you're in right now, which is several games under 500, which means you're going to be more than 10 games back, it's over.
Sure, but that's 2 months from now.
That's right. In the interim, what are you going to do?
Pray.
Well, there's nothing to do. Who are you going to trade? You want somebody who can help this team right away? Good luck. Those deals don't happen. They don't happen. Where's your hole? Last year, you had a hole at shortstop. Your perceived hole at shortstop. Reyes was playing like crap.
Sure.
So you went and did the Tulo deal. Price was Detroit just got rid of him because he was going to be a free agent, tried to get, and you know, got some futures for him.
Yeah.
That's a totally different deal. The one position, and you went and got a couple guys for the bullpen who did okay in the time they were here, which was brief. The one guy you went and got was Tulowitzki. And it was because you had a perceived weakness at shortstop. Where's your perceived weakness now? Who's the position player you want to replace?
Well, I don't think you could replace one.
That's my point.
Yeah.
There isn't one.
Sure.
There's no hole out there. You're okay with Saunders and left. Played way, way better than you thought he would.
Thank you for that.
Well, I'm honest.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Pilar's fine in center field. Hits, doesn't hit, makes the catches. Batista's Batista. He ain't going anywhere until you decide he's going somewhere. Smoke has actually been okay at first base since Colabella went bye-bye. You now have a second baseman, you hope. Well, Barney's hit okay as a second baseman. Goins has been crap as hitting. And now you got Devin Travis, who we think can hit major league pitching. And all accounts suggest he will. You're not going to trade Tulo at short because you think you can get somebody better. You're not going to trade Donaldson at third because you think you can get somebody better. And Martin, while he's been junk at the plate, he's still one of the top 10 catchers in baseball. And trade somebody, you know, I got to trade Martin to get another catcher. Well, those deals don't work anyway. You can't get a position player for a position player. Almost never. Got to throw something else in or whatever. Well, the only thing you can go out and acquire is a starting pitcher. Good luck with that. Nobody trades starting pitchers unless they're either horrible or on their way to free agency. And bullpen guys, going to cost you futures.
Yeah.
What futures have the Blue Jays got to trade? Cupboard's bare.
It is.
Cupboard's bare. It's going to be bare for another year. So
you got what you got.
You got what you got. You can't. There's nothing else you can do. Just hope. As I said, shuffle the lineup around.
Well, I think they've
done
that.
Yeah, a little bit. Do the kinds of things as a manager that you can do and hope that these guys find something. And so far, it hasn't happened. And we are now at May 25th. We're almost 2 months into this season. And we haven't seen... Have you seen progress?
No. There's no light at the end of the tunnel, huh?
No. Nope. I don't see one. Do you?
It's tough.
I don't see one. I mean, Tulo's hitting a little bit better. Martin's not. Goins isn't. Pilar's in another slump. Donaldson went through his first serious slump as a Blue Jay.
He's still in one.
He might still be in it.
11 for 60, that's one. Edwin's still in one.
Well,
Saunders is the only guy that's hitting.
Yeah, there you go.
Smoke's hitting a little bit.
A little bit. now and again. But there's no real sign of optimism. You know, and a lot, I'll tell you what happened a lot last year, and I don't know whether it should have been a warning sign or not. But this team had a lot of games where they'd score 8 runs on 9 hits, 9 runs on 10 hits.
Yeah.
They literally capitalized on every opportunity they had. And what were they last night? 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position?
0 for 8.
0 for 8? 0 for 8?
0 for 8.
Does that include the Donaldson sack?
Bunt. Well, he's trying to bunt for a base hit, but.
Well, that's one of those, how do you know for sure?
Well, it looked to me like he was trying to bunt for a base hit. But
I think so. I think you're probably right. But
that's a team reaching. When your MVP's trying to bunt for a base hit with in the third inning with first and second, nobody out. That's.
Well, the Yankees sure have some hard throwers, don't they?
They're not bad. Well, it's a high school game when you face them. You have 3 guys to back end their bullpen that.
Yeah, it's a 6-inning game.
It is, 100%. Joe Girardi keeps going to it. No matter where their starting pitcher is,
what would you do?
Well,
wouldn't you do the same?
If you want to win, that's why they've won 8 out of their last 10. And
I know.
They're back to .500. You use what you got.
Yeah.
What has Gibby got?
Well, he ain't got a pen he can rely on. And he's got 2 young starting pitchers who you have to presume they're going to baby. I find it really interesting that they're so concerned about Aaron Sanchez and apparently unconcerned about their other young starting pitcher who hasn't pitched a full season in the major leagues. Don't you find that curious?
Well, not really. He's your number one. I mean, yeah.
But what's the most innings he's pitched in a year?
130.
Well, why wouldn't you be as concerned? Isn't that the issue?
Yeah.
Forget that whether he's number one or not number one. I look at innings pitched versus history, like the history of how many innings you've pitched and how many can you expect a guy to pitch this year. Now, I'm old school. I think you throw a guy out there every 4th or 5th day and you say, throw till your arm hurts. And if your arm falls off, which I believe in the history of Major League Baseball, I check this out. On how many occasions have guys actually had their arm severed from their body.
Fall off?
Yeah, fall off.
I would say never.
I believe you're correct.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm going to say losing is going to make that easier. The more they lose, then they can do what they want with him or with both guys. They can start skipping starts. They can
Once you've given up.
100%. Well, you say give up now.
I'm saying there is no change you can make. Mm-hmm. You are stuck with this group, and all you can do is close your eyes and cross your fingers and hope that somehow they figure a way out of this. Is Morosi there? John Paul Morosi from Fox Sports and MLB Network joins us. We're depressed here over our Blue Jays, Morosi.
But the Raptors, Bob, the Raptors.
Well, we're going to talk.
They are cause for celebration and optimism.
Yes, I know you pay attention to Toronto sports, and we greatly appreciate it. And we're going to talk about the Raptors later on, but that's not why we brought you in here. Or do you have a unique and special point of observation on the Toronto Raptors and Cleveland Cavaliers?
No, I'm good. All right. Biombo's been pretty good, though, hasn't he?
If he could pitch, he'd be great. But to the best of my knowledge, we don't have a 7-foot pitcher on the Blue Jay staff. So, you know, my friend Barker here asks the question, what would you do? And to me, the answer to that question is as simple as 1 + 1. There's nothing you can do. There are virtually no options until you get to the middle of July. And if you're out of it, now you have options. You can try and trade Tulowitzki, although he's got a no-trade clause. You can try and trade Edwin Encarnacion, although the same applies. You could potentially trade Batista. You can give up and try and restock your farm system, and I wouldn't be surprised if the organization does that. So there are things you can do to bail if you're bad by the end of July. But if you're close and trying to get better, who you got to deal?
That's a great point. And Kevin, hello, by the way. Great to be on with you as well. But, yeah, I would say, Bob, you're exactly right. And as you were asking the question, I was thinking about this, and I said, you know what? The Jays being the Jays, they're going to be just good enough, right, that they have to stand pat and that they have to look at this and say, you know what, we're close enough to wild card contention, second wild card, whatever it ends up being, that we can't tear this thing apart and get value for Bautista, get value for Encarnacion, of course, with them upon free agency. Because you're right. I mean, if you get closer, you know, this team, I was just thinking about the numbers today, guys, and how perplexing this team is. Because I'm looking at it, their starting rotation, I believe, is, I think, 18 and 12 with an ERA in the mid-threes. If someone had told us on March 30th that the Jays' rotation is going to have an ERA in the mid-threes at the end of May, we all would have said, they got the best record in baseball. Right? I mean, that would have been a lock. You would have said there's no question. They've got an excellent closer. Of course, they had fortified the bullpen with Storen. We probably overrated maybe the downgrade in the bullpen. Of course, they've lost 13 games in the bullpen. But to me, guys, it's the lineup. And when you look at it, Goins and Martin, from an everyday player standpoint, production, you know, both phenomenal people, but obviously they have not hit this year. So basically, you've got two basic outs. I mean, they have basically been outs in this lineup all season long. Tulo is well below his career norm, well below. And I think when you add those three guys into the mix, it just has not been the same team as last year offensively.
Well, but
I don't get it, yeah. But that's where they're at.
I wouldn't stop there. I think you got to add Bautista and Encarnacion to that list, and it maybe hasn't been quite as dramatic, and they have hit some home runs.
Right.
But, you know, Edwin usually gets red hot in the month of May, and he has been chilly, if not ice cold, in the month of May. And Batista's batting average did dip, I believe, below 200, although very briefly, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, and he's played a little bit better. But these are guys you count on. Like, at least with Goins, you didn't know what you were going to get. And I've always said, if I've got a good defensive second baseman surrounded by the kind of lineup that he's surrounded by, I don't care if he hits .190. I'm perfectly fine with that. And Martin's not the kind of guy who offensively is going to carry your team. But you need more from Martin, and you need more from Tulo, and you need more from Encarnacion and Bautista. And the rest of the guys, you know, and Donaldson, as Kevin pointed out earlier, has been in a pretty bad slump, like a 160 slump over the last 3 weeks. So these are all bad signs.
You're right, Bob, and Kevin can attest to this too. Like as a manager's putting together a lineup, and as hitters are looking around at the way that their lineup is constituted, and certainly the pitchers from the opposite side, they get the lineup card, and the pitcher looks at it and says, "Okay, where are my outs? Where are my safe places in this lineup?" And last year there were basically no safe places. There was panic and depth everywhere. There was not a comfortable pitch thrown against the Jays for the most part through the second half of last year. And now, as you point out, Bob, very astutely, the game starts. Okay, Donaldson is a, you know, former MVP. I'm going to see him in the first inning. But if I'm sort of cautious with him a little bit, Bautista's not really swinging. Edwin's not really swinging. And once I get clear of that group, like the top four or five, I'm in good shape until the top of the order comes up around. And even then, because of some of the struggles they've had there, and Saunders has been good, but you look around and it's just not a scary lineup anymore. And I think whatever the numbers tell you, the pitchers see it and the scouting reports see it. In this day and age, news travels around the sport like this. And as soon as there's a weakness there, the pitchers adjust, the defenses adjust, the opposing managers adjust, and psychologically, the change is massive. Because I just think last year, guys, second half, pitchers were terrified of playing at Rogers Center. And now, I don't think they are.
Yeah, JP, if you're Mark Shapiro and you're sitting around, you're thinking, how do you jumpstart this team? Does it matter if your team is a veteran club and you start thinking about replacing the manager, you start thinking about replacing the hitting coach, maybe the pitching coach, things of that nature? Does that matter with the experience of a team? Or basically right now is Mark Shapiro's hands tied and the managerial spot on this team right now is not an issue? Because he's been on this network and basically said that John Gibbons, he has his back, and that's not the issue. He's more of a help than he is a hindrance to the team. Right now, if you're Mark Shapiro, what do you do?
Well, it's a great question, Kevin, and it's something I checked on this today, and I talked to Ross Atkins over email and just tried to get a sense of where he was at. And Ross said to me that he believes that John Gibbons and his staff are part of the solution. Clearly, it seems as though right now Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are not really inclined to make a change right now, that they trust Gibby and his group. Now, I look at this a couple different ways. As you point out, and that is, by the way, Mark Shapiro's history. They eventually let go of Eric Wedge, but it took really a couple years, as I recall, of the Indians being in a really, really bad position where it was really evident they had to make a change. The Indians in general were a team that really, really valued stability, and that's the culture that Mark Shapiro came from. That he came from a very stable place. So I think that he will value the stability. Gibby obviously knows these players, knows the organization very, very well. He's a very comfortable guy. He's away, and you know him, of course. He keeps you at ease. He puts people at ease, and I'm sure the players feel that. Where if I wanted to work my way out of a slump, I imagine John Gibbons is the type of manager I'd want to play for because he really has that way of making people feel very comfortable. So I think from that standpoint, as long as it's a veteran group, I do think the Jays are inclined to keep Gibbons and keep this core. I think it just makes sense to do that. Now, that being said, you do look longer term. We know, guys, how pro sports works. And usually at some point in time, the management wants to have, quote-unquote, their own guy. And obviously, quote-unquote, their own guy could be Eric Wedge again. I mean, that's certainly one possibility eventually. But I think as long as the Jays roster looks this way, as long as it looks the way that it does, I think it makes sense for John Gibbons to still be the manager. But if, Bob, as you painted out that scenario of if things really go the wrong direction and they do make some moves in July, then I think you see, okay, if they get younger, if Bautista's gone, Encarnacion is gone, then the club just looks differently and you can see a very clear rebuild slash young player phase coming, then I think that a managerial change appears more plausible just because that would be more of a natural point to do that.
There's a perception that the Blue Jays may have interest in moving Tulowitzki. This perception is brought about principally by idiot people who look at Tulowitzki's performance and think, well, he's not as good as we thought he was. Let's just trade him. Doesn't work that way, of course. But with the return of Devin Travis, the Blue Jays have three other middle infielders that, depending on what you think of Goins defensively, you know, you could theoretically not have to replace anybody if you move Tulowitzki. What do you do with, and we know that there would be some interest, although perhaps limited, in Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista because they're both pending free agents. What do you do with Russ Martin's contract if he continues to hit the way he's hit? Is him being a very good defensive catcher and a guy who works well with pitchers, is that enough?
Well, this is a tough one because obviously the Jays signed him because of certainly the person that he is, the worker that he is, how well he works with pitchers. I think with him, guys, I would say even if he's struggling mightily offensively, and certainly he is right now, I think catcher is one position where certainly I'd be willing to accept a lower level of offensive production if I knew that his contributions defensively were worth it. And I think certainly in the case of Russell Martin, again, I'll point out the starting rotation. I mean, they've been phenomenal. And as you guys were talking about a moment ago, there's a couple of really young guys there who are pitching quite well, I think, on measure. So I think you do not want to mess with that. I think his defensive contributions are linked so closely to the pitching performance that I think you really can't disrupt that. I just can't see that being a wise thing to do right now. Now, as for Tulo, I think you're right that the practical matter of trading him right now, I would say, is very remote. But that being said, here's sort of the way that I would look at it. If you could undo that deal now, okay, like if you could travel back in time now, and if the Jays knew then what they know now about how he was going to hit, they probably would not have made that trade. And again, I know it's like a coulda, shoulda, woulda thing, but I make that point because you are not going to find a team to take him right now. The Rockies barely found somebody to take him last year with that contract being what it was, and his penchant for getting injured being what it was. Now the production is dropped. He's a year older. He's a year more likely to get injured again. The Jays, again, and we all thought it was a great move at the time, but the Jays are stuck with him, and they could say they're trying to trade him now, but the only way you trade him is if you pair him up for another contract of similar magnitude and difficulty in moving. It's like, I'm not saying, believe me, I'm not saying this is going to happen, so I'll be clear about that, but it'd be like saying, okay, you want to trade Tulo? Okay, the Red Sox pick up the phone and say, okay, we'll trade you Sandoval for him. I mean, it's maybe not quite at that level.
No, that's a good analogy.
I mean, it's that's what we're talking about contractually. That is a huge amount of money to pay an aging shortstop because he is, of course, on the other side of 30, and he's not hitting right now. So, I mean, there is not a very strong market at all right now for Tulo.
Yeah, JB, it wouldn't be a show unless I ask you about Matt Harvey. The Mets are a game and a half back in the National League East. You know, I picked the Nationals to win that. I think their rotation is a lot better. Adding Dusty Baker is taking them to the next level, I believe. But Matt Harvey, you look at him and you see reports that the reason why he's struggling is because he stopped using tobacco. That's the first thing I need to ask you. And second thing that always comes to mind when a true number one like Matt Harvey struggling, first thing you think of is he hurt. Do you know what's going on with Matt Harvey?
Well, there's a lot of things going on there, I think Kevin. First of all, the tobacco piece, I can't speak to that directly, although certainly we know that New York is one of the ballparks, one of the cities that adopted the new legislation this year. So that is more tightly controlled there, of course, than many other major league cities. So again, I can't speak to it from a standpoint of his own physiology, but that I do know certainly that the laws there changed as a result of some legislation there earlier this year. As for the injury, the Mets are insisting, guys, that he is not hurt. And you look at the action on the pitches, he's still – I think he's in that very tough period, guys, where he's not hurt, but he's also not himself. And you look at the pitches that he gave up those back-to-back home runs on early in the game yesterday, guys, to Zimmerman and Rendon. Those were mid-80s change-ups to right-handed hitters that did literally nothing. Those were like batting practice fastballs. And I think he's a guy right now that is struggling for confidence. He's trying to find what he's all about. And as John Smoltz said, I think very astutely yesterday on MLB Network, you can tell he's thinking a lot about something on the mound. He's deep in thought, trying to find his way. And right now there are no answers. And guys, I do think the Mets are going to have him make his next start, but this is a perplexing situation. And if I can imagine a tougher place to try to find yourself, it would be pitching for the defending NL champs with all that talk last year about his innings limit. And now, of course, he's trying to live up to this. He's got that bravado, that the ace, the sort of the alpha male persona, and the results are not adding up to that. It's a very, very tough time for him. And I agree with you, Kevin. I think the Nationals right now are a far stronger team 1 through 25. And to make this one last point about the other Eastern Division, of course, in the American League, the thing about the Jays I keep coming back to, guys, is they are just not as good of a team right now, 1 through 25 balanced, as Boston and Baltimore. And so they're just not as good, 1 through 25. And that's one reason why I just think it's going to be so tough for the Jays to make a lot of progress in this division. It's just because the Red Sox, I think, are a better team. And the Yankees, who, of course, are playing better right now, the Jays are now seeing that right in front of them. So it's just a tough division, I believe, this year to make progress. It's a better overall division right now in the American League East than it was last year.
Yeah, JP, before we let you go, the Angels are 6.5 back, and I cannot believe I'm going to ask you this, but any chance whatsoever that they would trade Mike Trout?
No, and I think that I'm not saying they shouldn't think about it, because from a pure baseball standpoint, they are wasting, I believe, the prime years of Mike Trout. This team is not going to get better anytime soon as presently constituted. Of course, Pujols is getting older. Josh Hamilton, they are still paying him. Their ability to make really positive upgrades to the roster was severely restricted by where they're at with payroll right now. So I do think there would be some wisdom in thinking about it, Kevin, but I just think that from a practical standpoint, why else would you go see this team, let's say, if in the second largest city, second largest market, I guess I should say, in the U.S., if they trade Trout, what reason do you have to go to the ballpark and watch this team, I guess is what I'm saying. And I think they're very aware of that. They've got a generational talent. But, again, they are in a very tough spot. Their farm system is barren, and they made a very bad trade, Kevin, when they made that move for Andrelton Simmons. Simmons is a nice player, phenomenal defender. We know that. But they gave up what few chips they had in the farm system for someone who was not an offensive player. And they really needed offense. Left field has been just a black hole for them offensively. That was a bad move for Simmons. And right now they're living with the consequences of that bad and lost offseason.
Well, speaking of outfielders based in Los Angeles, Yasiel Puig is on the bench for being a lazy pant load. And this is not really any great news to anyone who has watched Mr. Puig play. He has some attitude issues, I think we could say. I'm surprised that the Dodgers have put up with him for as long as they have. Maybe they've tried to not put up with him, but nobody else will take his act. Is he even tradable?
Well, how about we do that? How about too low for Puig? What do you think?
Yeah, well, Puig can't play right field because we got one, and I'm pretty sure he can't play shortstop. And I don't really care whether the clubhouse likes each other, but I'm pretty sure that you put Yasiel Puig in there, that'd make a mess of the Blue Jays clubhouse too.
No, I know. I was joking, but that is, and of course, Tulo. I will say this: Tulo. This actually is something I believe, based on how much money Tulo has left, he might be even more untradeable than Puig right now. I really think that based on money owed. Now for Puig, he's made some inroads and some efforts to be a better citizen off the field. Of course, he well documented on social media what a great weekend he had in your fine city. And so from that standpoint, public relations-wise, he's been better. Teammate relations-wise, also better. But the bottom line is, on the field, he still has far too many lapses. And that is a huge concern for the Dodgers. And again, his overall offensive production, guys, has not been there. Their outfield in general, they've really missed Andre Ethier's production.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are a very inconsistent ball club that should have a far better record than they do right now. And with Puig, I really do think, Bob, the new front office came in after 2014, and Puig had sort of a down year at that point and a bad playoffs as well. And I think they thought to themselves, you know what, we probably don't want him anymore, but we can't trade him now because his value is down. Well, his value has only gone down further from that point. So I think they mismanaged that asset, probably should have traded him back in that offseason. And again, now he's older. He has not had very much of a productive season this year. His trade value, guys, is very low. And the Dodgers, I think, are probably regretting not having moved him before. And he actually stands now, guys, to, I think, lose out on more playing time. Scott Van Slyke should be back soon. It's a very, very tough situation. Trace Thompson has played a lot better for them in the outfield. I think he probably deserves an everyday role for the Dodgers, whereas Puig's playing time, I do believe, guys, will probably decrease even more here in the weeks to come.
All right, here's a stupid idea. Jose Bautista to the Dodgers for Yasiel Puig and a good young arm.
Not a bad concept. Not a bad concept.
Dodgers got lots of arms.
No, exactly. That's actually a very, very interesting idea.
Think about it.
And you're right. The Dodgers have a very good farm system. They have, I think, as much tradable depth. I had a scout tell me, guys, over the weekend, the three teams with the most tradable depth among the contenders that are probably going to put it to use: Boston, because, of course, we know Dave Dombrowski is not really attached to these prospects. He's always made bold moves in the past. He'll trade anybody. And so I think Dave Dombrowski will make some more moves in Boston. Texas, very deep system, very good system. And then the Dodgers, they have the chips to make a big-time move. They probably want pitching. The one thing I would say is I really think that's actually, it's a great call, Bob. That is a great idea because I really think they want more production, more middle of the lineup production. Adrian Gonzalez having a bit of a down year by his standards. So I think Bautista, in that respect, you protect Gonzalez with Bautista. I think that would be a very, very good fit. It kind of limits their long-term exposure. The Jays get a guy that could replace Bautista for next year without really necessarily selling on this year, if you will. It's a great idea. It's something, Bob, that I will need to run by my sources and get back to you on that with some more substantiation next time we speak. How about that?
As long as you give me credit, that's all I care about.
I will.
JP, we got to go.
Bob, I credit endlessly to you, my friend. Thank you.
John Paul Morosi of MLB Network and Fox Sports will take the break. Back with more. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Oh, there he is. Oh. Waiting for him. You're all right. Here's the lineup for tonight as the Blue Jays get set to play to the New York Yankees. Batista, Donaldson, and Encarnacion. Encarnacion is the DH again. Saunders, Smoke, Martin, Pilar, Travis, and Goins. Yes, Devin Travis will play second base. Ryan Goins will be at shortstop. Troy Tulowitzki down. He was shot by a sniper from the stands in New York yesterday trying to go to second base.
That sounds like a winner to me, that lineup.
You like that lineup?
I do.
What do you like about it? Goins is hitting ahead of Batista. First, you said you don't like
Pilar
Batista at first.
In the nine spot, just so you could get a couple of guys on in front of Batista and Donaldson. That's the only thing I'd have done different. Now, the middle of your lineup has to step up and start hitting. Captain obvious, but do something.
Do you think the Blue Jays are shopping Encarnacion?
I would say
for the Mets.
I would say so, yes. I would say any chance they get to,
do you think they
get rid of a piece and add a piece that needs to be added?
Do you think the Blue Jays have already decided not to sign but re-sign Batista and Encarnacion?
Yes.
I do too.
And I think losing and them getting off to the slow starts, it did just makes it easier. Makes it a lot easier for them not to have to even go and have a conversation.
Right.
Basically, it was thanks for coming and you were great while you were here, but.
All right, what do you get for Edwin? Now, he's a 10-5 guy.
I would say a pitching prospect would be the first thing. It's all about pitching. But I will say this, the American League East is not like any other division because of the small parks you play in and you face Baltimore and Boston. You know, they hit.
Yeah.
So this league, you have to hit. Well, and it's tough when you get, even Edwin's struggling. He's still a threat to hit a home run and drive in some big runs. So it's going to be very hard to replace a guy like that. But again, it gets back to what do you want your team to be? You want your team to be a bunch of big boppers that, you know, are really good for a month and then struggle for a month? Or do you want guys that put the ball in play like Kansas City did the last couple of years? They're not as much this year, but last couple of years, that's been their MO is we're going to put a lot of balls in play, put pressure on the defense, and we're going to pitch you to death. You have to make up your mind, right?
All right. Well, I'm not precluding the possibility that you're 100% right and you get a prospect for Edwin. But at this point, it's pretty hard to give up on this season. And the perception would be if you trade Edwin for a prospect, you're giving up. Therefore, is there somebody in the Mets system that could help this team? And I almost think it'd have to be a bullpen guy. You're okay with your five starters, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, they have, you know, they're pitching great. They're pitching with confidence.
Okay.
It's that's why the Russell Martin thing, whenever you mention Russell Martin, I try to not look at the way he's hitting, because when you put the right fingers down and you can't argue with the way the staff's doing, you just can't. It's very hard to argue that is, you know, when they're pitching as many innings as they are, and if they were hitting, they would not be seven out. So, you know, who knows what the Mets would give the Blue Jays for Edwin, but
would you want something that can help you now?
I here's what I would say. I would want both. I would want somebody that could pitch either the seventh or eighth inning, an established guy that knows what they're doing, that you don't have to tell pitch by pitch to go down and away.
Yeah.
I would want that guy, and then I would want, say, a double-A guy that in 2 years is going to come up here and do that for the guy that was doing it right now.
Understood.
How about that? Now, would the Mets give you that?
Well, we don't know that.
They need to hit.
We're speculating here, and I hate speculating.
We are, but it's fun.
Batista for Puig and a pitching prospect.
I don't like that.
I
disagree with the clubhouse thing. I think clubhouse matters. And Alex Anthopoulos did one thing.
Too.
He took care of the clubhouse. And you add a guy like Puig. Let's face it. That's not exactly what you want to add to even a team that's three games under 500.
No, and he isn't the guy we thought he was going to be.
100%. I mean, it's.
But you get a pitcher.
Yes. Yeah, they need to hit. Can he come here? I'll say this.
Maybe
if he at 30 plus and he stole 50 bases a year, I would say heck yeah. But he doesn't do either one of those.
He's a talented guy, but he's he just appears to me to be a head case, and I don't know whether you can solve that kind of thing. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Hope it wasn't too hard on you.
No, you were good. Tell your wife about the cologne, though. You big baby. Sherm Hamilton joins us next hour along with Richard Deitch, then Barry Melrose and Keith Olbermann on Primetime.